It's, there we go. Oh, okay, sorry. Thought I'd already done that. Oh, don't you love it when it, that God is so good, and that He's moving and moving and moving. We're living in an amazing time in history. We really are. And I, even before all this happened tonight, I knew that one of the things that we got to go after and pray for later tonight is against cancer and against any other life-threatening diseases. It's just not okay. It's absolutely not okay. And I know we're going to be praying for that, going after that in a little bit. That's just something God's really put on my heart. So I just want to stop though right now and say, Holy Spirit, we welcome You to do whatever You want to do in our hearts. Whatever You want to do, Holy Spirit, because what You do is good. What You do is good. When You bring us truth, it changes us. When You touch us, we're transformed. So I'm asking You, and I prayed this. We prayed this up here as a worship team before you all got in here, that not one of you would leave here without being massively touched by the Lord. Every single one of you would be touched greatly by the Lord. That's what we're asking and declaring in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought that I did not know I was going to be preaching tonight until just a couple days ago, because we thought Rich and Lindy Oliver were going to be here. We were going to have an ordination service for the elders, which we're going to postpone most likely till middle of May of August. And but what I want to do, remember last week I told you, I looked up and I went, whoa, it was really late. It was 8:45 before I even started preaching last week, just because of all that was going on. And so I really cut it way back, and God knew I would have time for part two tonight. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it a little bit further. What we were talking about last week was freedom. And we're talking about freedom, and my question was, what are you going to do with that freedom? That's the big question. Because if you're in Christ, you already have it. You already have your freedom. You have more freedom than you know what to do with. But the Lord does want to know, what do you want to do with it? And I'm going to first talk about freedom again. By last time I shared from Colossians, this time I'm going to share from Ephesians chapter 1. Only I want to use the word on the street. Rob Lacey, this is a really fun translation, paraphrase actually. So if you ever get in a rut, you know, and you just like, gosh, the Bible is just not very real to me. You really have no excuse these days. There are so many amazing translations out there. Pick a different one up and try again and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. But check this out. This is from Ephesians 1. You're going to love this, I think. I love it. I love it, so you love it too. okay, starting in verse 3. Again, we're talking about our freedom. So it's going to build up to our freedom. Celebrate God, just like we were doing tonight. Celebrate God, the Father of our boss, Jesus, the Liberator. Liberator, freer, right? Because of our connection with the Liberator, with Jesus, God's poured out so much of heaven's good stuff that our belly laughs are fuller, longer, stronger than ever before. Way back before the cosmos was called to attention out of nothing, God let the Liberator, Jesus, pick us out to be His special people, fully acquitted and loved. Now let me stop for a minute there. That fully acquitted part, that's actually in various parts of the Bible, Paul talks about that, about being acquitted. Do you understand? Acquitted means you're in a court, and the thing is thrown out. Your case is thrown out. Any case against you. Because there's no evidence. That's what this means. Like, oh, with all those things you think, you know, you're afraid of. Like, oh, shoot, I'm so afraid of meeting God. No, you don't understand. If you've said yes to Jesus and what He's done on your behalf, the case has already been thrown out of court. It's not going to be thrown out of court. it was thrown out of court 2,000 years ago for you. And you say, well, how do you know? How'd you know it was thrown out for me? I don't know how he knew, but he already knew who was going to pick him, who was going to say yes to him before the foundation of the earth. It's already thrown out. There's no case against you. That's really good news. That's freedom. Because if you're living in fear, if you're living in the oh no, and you're not going to be very productive in life. Fearful people don't go out and do great things. They really don't. You got to know that you are forgiven, you're freed, you're washed. That's what all this is. But you're acquitted. It's case is already thrown out. What God always wanted. See, now this is what he wanted. What does God want? Well, what God always wanted, what he craved for, was for us to fulfill our destiny, to be adopted into his family through our links with Jesus, the Liberator. And he loves his son so much that he just piles on the dazzling freebies and we are left speechless. That's just exceptionally good news. Why does he do this? God, why do you do this? Well, it says right here, because he loves his son so much. He loves you. Absolutely he loves you. But pretty quickly we can say, yeah, but God, I don't deserve it. He goes, I know that. But my son deserved it for you. And guess what? The two of you, you're one. You're one. So everything he gets, you get. That's actually in Colossians where it talks about Jesus being the firstborn of all creation. You know why that's so important? Because when you are adopted, you get all the rights of the firstborn. That's what adoption means back in the day. Adoption wasn't taken lightly. You get all the rights of the firstborn. That's pretty exciting when you know that the firstborn is Jesus. Everything the Father has blessed him with is yours. Not someday, but now. And every day of your life. Why don't Pastor Brent, how come I don't get to experience it all then? Well, you experience to the degree that you actually believe it. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the way it works. It's all yours now. And believe me, I'm in the same boat with you as far as not experiencing everything that's mine, but I'm as hungry as you to experience it. I want it all. It's okay to be a glory hog. You know, when you were growing up, and the kids are saying, oh, don't be such a glory hog. Well, Jesus says, be a glory hog. The Father says to you, be a glory hog. Go ahead and want it. Go ahead and want everything that's yours because that's what he wants. You might be thinking, well, that's really selfish, but what if I told you that's what the Father wants for you? That's what this says. What it says. Okay, let's have a little bit more fun here. We're still talking about freedom. That's what we were talking about. So, he loves his son so much that he just piled on the dazzling freebies, and we're left speechless, except for making sure that God gets all of the credit for everything we've got. Our Jesus link sparks off all of God's over-the-top generosity. If it wasn't for his wisdom, God's wisdom, in knowing how we tick, you'd think he was spoiling us with all of these bonuses. Only God could do this where he says, I know how to bless you and bless you and bless you. And we're thinking, oh yeah, but it's going to be a bless me club. I promise for most of you in this room, that's not your problem. I understand some people push this too far and make it all about bless me, and not caring for other people, and that's not God's heart at all. But most of you in this room, you don't know yet how much God wants to bless you. You have not received the blessings he really, really wants to pour out on you. You've received some of them, but I'm here to tell you, on his behalf, there is so much more. There is so much more. So, number one, he numbers them. One, we were bought back from the enemy. We are bought back from the enemy at a price calculated in units of Jesus' blood. That makes you pretty darn important. Priceless is what you are to God. Number two, our mess is cleaned up and canceled. Are you getting that? It's not will be cleaned up and is going to be canceled. Our mess is cleaned up and canceled. Again, some of you say, well, Brent, if you knew my life, you wouldn't say my mess is cleaned up. That's the difference between what has already been done in Christ and what we are living in with our agreement. That's the difference. It's already been done. Mess is paid for. It's cleaned up. Our problem is, all of us in this room, we don't fully know who we are yet. That's our biggest problem. You know, Jesus, you know, it's funny because we talk a lot about different sins that maybe God's really upset with and ticked off with or whatever. You know the one Jesus mentioned the most of all? Unbelief. He's like, if you would just believe, you'd get it. And if you'd believe who you are, you'd start living it. You'd live these glory-filled lives as sons and daughters of light, of the King, if you just believed who you were. Our biggest problem is we start walking in directions that we have no business walking in because we totally forget who we are. So we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need Him to constantly remind us, who am I? Who am I? Just who do we think we are? That's a good word right there, Gina. Just who do we think we are? Both heaven and hell are asking the same question. Enemy's trying to intimidate you. Who do you think you are? Heaven's saying, come on. Come on. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And here's the third one. We get the inside story on His plans for the future that He's buzzing about bringing in since Jesus completed His mission. Major talk of timing it all to come under Jesus' jurisdiction, all of it, heaven, earth, the whole caboodle, with the Liberator running things His way. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a whole lot in here. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry, I didn't get to freedom. We did, freedom's actually in there already, but because it talks about our freedom in Christ, freedom from sin. He says, You all get in on this. You were all ears. You took the good news to heart, and you were liberated. So there's more. Number five. I think I skipped four, but that's okay. Number five. You get God's Holy Spirit based permanently in your deepest places. Locked in as a guarantee. A down payment. Four. Number six. All the rest of your inheritance that God still got on account for you. And number seven. You get the full freedom that God on the line for His people. You get the full freedom. Freedom from a lot of things. Freedom from sin. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from wasting your life on things that are not going to help you. You also are free to do a lot of things. You're free to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are free to love people. You're free to make a huge difference in this world. And you're free to do that tonight. You're free to do it right now. Like, there's nothing holding you back. Do you know that? There's nothing holding you back. Give me your best excuse. And God says, already taken care of. Go ahead, think of your best one. Why God couldn't use you. Why your life can't change the world. And God says, nope. Already taken care of. Check. Cross took care of that one too. So that's our freedom. I want to read you this pretty cool story from the book called The Blood by Benny Hinn. It's going to be in town soon or nearby, right? Yeah. Oakland, the 29th and 30th of July. Oracle Arena. Oracle Arena. There you go. More and more information coming on the ticker tape. That's awesome. And you know what? Last week we talked about using our freedom to protect the body of Christ, to protect the unity of the body of Christ. Super, super important. Any one of us, we just mentioned Benny Hinn, who is an amazing man of God. He really is. And I'm bringing this up right now because he's taken a whole lot of hits, unfortunately, a lot from the body of Christ. And my question is, why are we doing that? We don't have time for this. Do you understand the goal? The goal is that all of us together reflect Christ to the world, and we go bring in the harvest, because he's coming back soon for a beautiful bride. We're all reflecting different parts of him, are we not? So sometimes our thinking is that because we don't line up with every single belief as so-and-so, well, we can't support them and we can't be for them. Well, why not? I'm just asking, why not? One of my heroes, living heroes in this life, is Bill Johnson. I've never heard him say a bad thing about another person, ever. Not once. He doesn't need to. There's no reason. So if you're like, well, you know, we got to keep the truth. Okay, I hope you're playing by the same rules for yourself. You understand? Because there's a lot of things that we're not probably square on truth, even though we think we are. So could we just extend each other tons of grace? And just the things that you appreciate about somebody, say those things. The things you're not so sure about, no need. So, okay. I think I'm just talking tonight like I was last week. I hope this is okay. Kind of enjoying it. The blood, Benny Hinn. The subtitle is, it's the blood's power from Genesis to Jesus to you. And this chapter 11 is called Bought with a Price. I just want to read the story that it begins with. During the years when slavery was legal in the United States, a gentleman happened upon a slave bidding in a crowded street. The man paused to observe the activities, and as he watched from the edge of the crowd, he saw one slave after another led onto a platform, their arms and their legs shackled with ropes as if they were animals. Displayed before the jeering crowd, they were auctioned off one by one. Some onlookers would inspect the merchandise, in quotes, grabbing disrespectfully at the women, examining the muscular arms of the men. The gentleman studied the group of slaves waiting nearby, and he paused when he saw a young girl standing at the back. Her eyes were filled with fear. She looked so frightened. He hesitated for a moment, and then he disappeared briefly. When he returned, the auctioneer was about to start the bidding for the young girl that he had noticed beforehand. As the auctioneer opened the bidding, the gentleman shouted out a bid that was more than twice the amount of any other selling price offered that day. There was silence for an instant, and then the gavel fell. "Sold to the gentleman," was heard. The gentleman stepped forward, making his way through the crowd, and he waited at the bottom of the steps as the young girl was led down to her new owner. The rope which bound her was handed to the man, who accepted it without saying anything. The young girl stared at the ground, and suddenly she looked up and she spit in his face. Silently, he reached for a handkerchief. He wiped the spittle from his face. He smiled gently at the young girl and he said, "Follow me." She followed him reluctantly. And as they reached the edge of the crowd, he continued to a nearby area where each deal was closed legally. When a slave was set free, legal documents called manumission papers were necessary. The gentleman paid the purchase price and signed the necessary documents. When the transaction was complete, he turned to the young girl and he presented the documents to her. Startled, she looked at him with uncertainty. Her narrowed eyes asked, "What are you doing?" And the gentleman responded to her questioning look. He said, "Here, take these papers. I bought you to set you free." He said, "As long as you have these papers in your possession, no person can ever make you a slave again." The girl looked into his face. What was happening? There was silence. And slowly she said, "You bought me to set me free? You bought me to set me free." And as she repeated this phrase over and over, the significance of what had just happened became more and more real to her. "You bought me to set me free?" Was it possible that a stranger had just granted her freedom, and never again could she be held in bondage and servitude to any man? As she began to grasp the significance of the documents which she now held in her hand, she fell to her knees and wept at the gentleman's feet. through her tears of joy and gratitude, she said, "You bought me to set me free. I will serve you forever." I know you already get the significance of this. It's done. And we keep thinking we're still slaves. Slaves to sin. He says, no. No, I made the ultimate purchase for you. Not gold and silver, but my own blood. Sin has no power over you anymore. I've got the papers. I've got the legal documents. It says in Colossians 2, he's already paraded the principalities and powers behind him in the street. There's already been a victory parade on your behalf. It's already done. He bought you to set you free. And like Paul and Peter and some others, it's appropriate. It's appropriate to call yourself a bond servant of the Lord, just so long as you understand what that is. That's not back into a slavery mindset. You know, Jesus says, "I don't call you servants, I call you friends." See, when we do need to understand that apart from Him, we were completely lost. We had no hope of anything, of our life counting for anything. And there is something that happens to us when we finally understand what Jesus has fully accomplished for us. It's right to fall at His feet and weep and say, "I'll serve you forever." You know what He does? He picks you up. He wipes your tears off and He says, I know you'll do that, but I want you to do it as my friend. I want you to be my friend. I paid for you to be my friend, to be my lover, someone that to have this intimacy with, a love relationship with. That's what He's in it for. And when we go back to that sin thing, just so you understand, the law had a purpose. The purpose of the law was to show you needed a Savior. That's it. The purpose of the law was to show you can't do this on your own. That's the extent of the law. That's what it's good for. Once that law brings you to your knees, brings you to Jesus, brings you to an understanding that you need a Savior, that you want Jesus, that you accept what He did for you on the cross, the law's job is done. It's finished. People say, "Well, what about Jesus who said, I didn't come to, abolish the law, but to fulfill it?" That's right. People will use that and say, "No, we got to keep the law." Even Jesus said. No, Jesus said, "I have not come to abolish the law, but I have come to fulfill it." He fulfilled it. He was the one person in all of history who never broke any part of the law. He did not even expect it of His followers. Did you know that? I mean, this is going to sound wild to you, but if you've never thought about it, He's in a field, and they're picking corn on the Sabbath. Something you don't do by the law. When I say they, Jesus and His disciples. Now, understand, Jesus wasn't picking the food because He obeyed the law to the nth degree. But His followers were. And of course, the Pharisees come on and they're trying to pick a fight. And they say, "What's up with this?" And Jesus turns it around and says, "Is it unlawful to go and..." You know, he uses a whole illustration. I don't want to get into it now, but just saying, "Isn't it okay to assist someone on the Sabbath? Is that work?" And of course, they're ticked off because they were trying to trap Him. But the point is this: Jesus allowed his disciples to do that, but He didn't. I could give you a lot of other examples like that. Are we saying that the law isn't good, that you can do whatever you want? No, the law is really good. Because without it, we wouldn't know that we have a problem. But once the law's done its job, if you still go back to rules to try to please God, you are putting yourself right back into the yoke of slavery that you just got set free from. That's Galatians 5:1. It says, don't do that. You're like, "Well, then how are we going to know?" great news for you. Holy Spirit lives in you. And as long as you want good things for your life, as long as the things like loving God and having your life matter, as long as that's important to you, Holy Spirit's going to direct you. He's really smart. He's brilliant, in fact. He really knows what's good for you and what's not. And this is the thing that really ticks some Christians off, is he's not going to tell you all the same thing. Now that's a rub, you know? Especially when you've lived your whole life trying to be a really good Christian and live by all the rules, then everybody else better darn do the same thing as you. And that's why we end up judging each other. That's also why you hear people say Christians are all hypocrites. Why? Because the very thing we say we're going to do, we can't live it perfectly. God knows that. Isn't that good news? He actually already knows that. But the Holy Spirit will tell you what's good for you and what's not. And this is another thing that will mess with you a little bit. It's just going to change even from season to season in your life. It will. There's times when he's going to say, you know that thing that was okay for a while? It's not anymore. Because it's starting to take over your life. It's starting to make an idol of it. It's you're making really bad decisions. That's not okay anymore. For how long? I don't know. I'll tell you. I'll tell you when it changes. That's the kind of relationship he wants with us. And we're like, no. I want to know everything. Just tell me. Just show me. Show me where it is. This is full of amazing advice. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting the word down at all. It's inspired by God. It's we need it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, you know, people that say, well, if it ain't in the Bible, I'm not doing it. Or vice versa. Well, you got a problem right there. I don't know. Is going to the bathroom mentioned in the Bible? I'm just saying that I'm making a point here. That mentality that says, if it isn't here, I won't do it. There are some places, I'm not judging anybody, there are some places of worship that won't use instruments because it's not mentioned in the New Testament. You know what? They're free to not do that. They're free in Christ to not do that. That's totally okay. You can worship God with instruments or not. But that whole thing of, you know, that this thing, this getting back in, my point is not, don't get back into bondage. Let me stick with the point. Don't get back into bondage of thinking that you are going to be right with God by doing everything just so. You've already lost. If that's your game, you've already lost. Don't play it. Choose not to play that game. So what game is left? Oh, it's called grace. It's called Jesus doing everything for you, and you get to enjoy it. He will. The Lord is so good. He will direct your path. He will show you. If you want your life to count, it will. My point last week was, what do you want to do with your freedom? Because you got this freedom. So what do you want? What do you want out of this life? What do you want? What's important to you? Who is important to you? And are you willing to protect that with your freedom? Let me just, before I move on to that, let me just share from Matthew 11, because we just said don't have this yoke of slavery, right? But check this out in Matthew 11. There is a yoke you're supposed to have. See, this is just going to spell out the difference again between religion and relationship, right? This is going to spell the difference out. Don't get fastened. Don't get yoked to the law. Don't tie that up to yourself and say, this is my rule. This is my life. Okay, you're now, you've just become a slave again. So what should you be yoked to? Well, that would be Jesus. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. This is the passage, are you weary and heavy laden? I'll give you rest. But let me read this in the Message Bible, one of my favorite translations in this of this scripture, because I believe this is going to apply to probably most of you in this room. You ready? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Because some of us, we don't think we're religious, and by degrees, we're less and less so. But we still all got areas where we get into that again. You know how you can tell? You start getting really tired. You're like, how did I get into this again? Fortunately, the Lord never left you, so he's just going to pull you back out again. But Jesus says, so are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? He says, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. My favorite definition of grace, God doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself in a million years. That's grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound yummy? Could that be true? Could that be the way God really wants it? To live freely and lightly? That just doesn't sound hard enough. We've got to be doing something wrong. Do you know that that's the very reason why the cross is a stumbling block? It was a stumbling block to the Jewish people. Why? Because they were keeping the law. They were working so dang hard. And they're like, don't you tell me that I can get all this without my effort, that it's just the cross and Jesus did it for me. Don't tell me that, because that offends me. I worked too darn hard for my whole life for you to tell me that. It's the honest truth. That's where the offense is. For the Jewish people, especially. But God loves people, his Jewish people. He's coming back for them. He has not forgotten them. This is all coming full circle. I hope you all know that. So what do you want with your freedom? What do you want with your freedom? I'm going to share a little bit more about this, and then I promise you, we're going to get into some praying for people. We're going to go after some things tonight. We just got to. So, I talked a lot. I'm not going to repeat all that I talked about last week. So, if you're interested, this is just a quick advertisement, I guess, that you can go on our website, blazingfire.org, and the podcast is there for free. So, you can listen to it and hear what I said. But this whole thing about intimacy with the Lord, if it's something you want, then go after it. He already went after you. I assure you the problem is not his desire for you. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I want to, just so busy, I got so much going on. Let me tell you, the Lord loves you the same whether you do or do not pursue him. That is the honest truth. He loves you the same either way. But just be honest. Meaning, you can't say, I want to, but I just don't have the time. But because if you really wanted to, you would. So just be honest. Just say, God, I want to. You know what I'm saying? You have to be honest with him, because if we're playing this game, he's like waiting us out. All right, I'll wait till you're going to get real with me, but I know what your desires are, so why don't you let me start shaping them for you? But if we want him, then we start making choices with our freedom that are going to protect that love relationship with him. We start not choosing to go down the roads that we've gone down before that don't lead us where we want to go. That's Holy Spirit wisdom. He's just working with us, showing us, you know what? That thing over there, you actually already died to that. You can go there a million times and you're never going to find life there again. You keep thinking you will. It's this habit thing. It, from your old life, your dead life, that person that died, it's that thing, but it's not a part of you anymore. It's, last week I went into a whole discussion of circumcision. I'm not going there tonight, but if you're curious, you can go listen. But Colossians 2 says he cut out the new circumcision, the old circumcision of the law, the new one of grace is, he cuts that thing out of your heart called your sin nature. That's what he cut out. The minute you said yes to Jesus, come on, come on. Now we're talking. That thing got cut out of you. We keep looking for it. You ever heard that teaching, you know, the good dog, bad dog thing? Which one are you going to feed? It's a great illustration, but the thing is, it isn't the truth. Because there isn't a bad dog. That bad dog got cut out of you. So how are you going to feed it? But I will tell you, we do have choices. And the choices we make are really important. Because that choice is either going to lead you into a life that is satisfying, fulfilling, where you get to have deep relationships with people, or you're going to make bad choices with your freedom. Even though you are still a free person, you're not going to feel free. And you're not going to have the depth of relationships, because when you start making bad choices with your freedom, you start isolating yourself. You start hiding. It's what happens. It's absolutely what happens. And you wonder why relationships get ruined and destroyed and all that. So if you make those bad choices, are you doomed? Not at all. Jesus is as close as ever. He says, anytime you want, we can start turning this way. Because I paid for that. Sin doesn't own you. Sin does not own you. Well, if it's just this dang sin nature. No, I'm sorry, but that's just wrong theology. Because if you believe that sin nature has control over you, you've just empowered something that isn't true, but it might as well be true. Because you empower what you believe. If you've never heard this before, I know some of you are kind of like processing. You're like, data, where's that scripture? I need something to hang on to. I assure you, it's all in there. It's to those who have eyes to see. It's the gospel is actually really good news. It has nothing to do with you trying harder. It's about you accepting what Christ has done on your behalf and then living a life that enjoys that freedom so that by the time you get to heaven, there's a celebration and God says, wahoo, everything I did for you, you were enjoying. I'm so happy that you got to be out there and making a difference in the world because you chose to believe me. It is real. That's it. That's the gospel. And I'll tell you how else I know this is true. I'm not standing here for her by any means to tell you I'm perfect and I don't make wrong choices. That's just not true. However, the more the Lord has gripped my heart with what is true, the more I have chosen to make right choices and walk in the freedom of who I am as Daddy's favorite kid, and you are too. The more I walk in that, the fruit pours out. That fruit that you've been looking for in your life, when you finally start just agreeing with who you are and what Christ has done for you and how loved you are, how favored you are, watch what happens. Because, again, that doubt thing, one of the biggest problems is feeling this victim mentality. Oh, everything bad happens to me. How come I never, ever, ever... If you find yourself going there, tell yourself to stop it. And remind yourself how blessed you are. Because it's true. It's true. And the more you actually believe it, the more you experience it. Even though it's already yours. I can't tell you why that is. It just is. That's faith. It just is. So I encourage you, believe it. So what are you going to do with your freedom? Here you go. That's good. Why don't we love people with our freedom? Why don't we encourage people with our freedom? Let's see. I was going to... Okay. All right. I'm going to give you an example, okay, about the law versus grace in the area of giving. Okay? I'm just going to go there for a minute. Now, all Christians do not agree on this. A lot of you, some of you in this room won't necessarily agree with me. That's okay. I'm going to tell you something that I believe is true. I believe I can show you where it is in Scripture, but that's me. So, you are not bound by the law to give. You're not bound by the law to tithe. What? Are you hearing that from a teacher, from a pastor? What? Quick, let's pass the offering plate before I give this teaching. You are not bound by law to do that. That would be fastening yourself to a yoke of slavery. There are two places where the tithing is mentioned. Jesus mentions it once in the New Testament to the Pharisees. He says, you know, you aren't, you're tithing and you're doing these things, but you're not doing the weightier things. I'm paraphrasing totally right now, but of grace and the good stuff. Sorry, I'm just paraphrasing. And he says, you should have done both, is what he's saying to them. That's true. Why? Because those are the Pharisees living under the law. Jesus hadn't died yet. There is no grace yet. The law is still in operation. But he's saying to them, but you missed the weightier matters. You missed the motive, the heart motive for doing it. There's one other place that's mentioned. It's mentioned in Hebrews when they're going back and talking about Melchizedek and the Old Testament, Levi. And it's totally appropriate because they're explaining things. But my point is this, is Paul, when he was talking about giving, he spent two whole chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talking about giving. He talked about giving a lot of places. But wouldn't you think the one who met Jesus face to face with him, if the tithe was still the law and we had to do that, wouldn't that have been a great time to bring it up? What he says is, give generously, give hilariously, be like your dad. Whatever you do, he says, don't do it under compulsion. What's that? That's the law. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. He says, then you miss the whole point. You miss the joy of it. You're missing the fun. But I will tell you, is giving important? It's hugely important. If you have never picked this up by now, you need to know this. It's hugely important because God says it's part of the kingdom, and I dare you to outgive me. That's what he's saying. I'm a wild, hilarious, generous, good papa. I know how to bless your socks off. I love it when you're like me and do the same and watch. When you start finally getting this thing and start giving hilariously and joyfully and without, not legally, just do it because you want to, watch what I start pouring back. Press down, shaking, spilling over back at you. That's what the word says. But you know what? Sometimes what happens is fear comes in, and when fear comes in, and sometimes we feel like we're in lack, sometimes we can bring up the law again to try to get you to do something. But that's not right. So, in fact, about this building, I'm going to transition into El Shaddai, and then we're going to pray for people. About the building, the lease we're moving towards at Vintage Hills. Let me just tell you something. Money is not the issue. It getting into that building, I could stand here and say to you, I wrote a letter. Many of you received it today. Vision Builders, if you're a vision builder, you received a letter, an update from me today. And I told you some of the raw numbers. We got this much. We kind of need this much in order to move ahead to the next step, to move to our own building. But let me just tell you something. Money is never the issue. It can't be. Our papa has everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Well, I sure don't feel that. I feel like I'm lacking. That's that belief thing again. That's that thing that we're still trying to get. Really? Could he be that good? You know, and I know there's a lot of stories. Well, God, I prayed and prayed, and then got to the 11th hour and thought you were going to come through, and you didn't. Believe me, there's a process going on where he is still capturing our hearts and saying, no, you were trying to do a legalistic thing, and I'm not saying all of you. I'm just saying sometimes we get into, if only I do this, this, and this, then God has to do that. He's like, no, you missed the point. I'm just good because I'm good. I love you because I love you. Because I can and I do. So I'm saying again that with Blazing Fire, I know he's called us to live a radically different kind of life. And people often scratch their heads at us and go, who are you guys? But so I believe this. When I saw it, just the other day, I was reading and was captured again by El Shaddai, which is when God came to Abraham, promised him a child, didn't happen for 13 years. Thought the promise was dead, and God comes to him and says, I am El Shaddai. That was the first time that name was uttered that we have in Scripture, noted in Scripture. I'm El Shaddai. It's not just that he supplies all things as our all-sufficient one. It's actually better than that. He is our all-sufficiency. That's what El Shaddai means. It's me. It's me. I got it all, but it's me. I am your sufficiency. I will do for you what you can't do for yourself. That's El Shaddai. And as I saw that, I'm like, God, read. It's, you know, our hearts, it doesn't have to go off very much, you know, before something's off. And God, if you want to be close to him, he's close to you. But if you want to be close to him, he'll let you know when you're just a little bit off. Because he doesn't want you to be a little bit off. He wants you, come on back on. And I could tell you story after story in this church of how God, honestly, as an elder team, we talk about this, how every time, anytime we felt like we just got a little bit off from what our mission was, what we're here to do, to experience and enjoy God's presence together, he pulls us back on and says, oop, got a little bit off there. Let's keep going. He's so good. So I was reading this about El Shaddai, and he was just doing one of those little course corrections, like, oop, don't think that you have a lack of money or something, because that's not the issue. Now, what is the issue? He's got to tell all of us, you know, whatever the issue is. I hope this is speaking to some of you, because I know in this economy, I know a lot of you are struggling. A lot of you, you know, looking for jobs and all the rest. And this, it can be a struggle. You know, God, do you care? Are you for me? Oh, I was just going to dance. Okay. I was getting into the music there. Are you for me? Do you care? The answer is absolutely he cares. And this economy is not our economy.
Amen.
We belong to a kingdom economy. God's not wringing his hands, wondering where he's going to come up, how he's going to balance the budget. Do you know he has no budget to balance? What would that be to have everything, and not only to have everything, but it just multiplies all you want. What would that be like? I'll tell you what that would be like. You have to very carefully administer that to those who capture your heart and who know what to do with that kind of wealth. That's why a lot of us have been in school, learning God's heart. A lot of you have gotten words. Some of you who are struggling the most in here, you've gotten words about financing the kingdom. I know you have. And you're like, I don't get it. I got this cool word. I was at this amazing conference. I even fell out in the spirit. Got this amazing word that I'm going to change the world, and I'm going to finance the kingdom. All right, Lord, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. And the next thing that happens is like you go into this financial desert. And you're like, what up with that? Do you know what's up with that? Dealing with your heart. He's tenderizing your heart. He's saying, I need you to know who I am. I need you to trust me when you don't see it. I need you. You've got to go some places you are not yet in order to be able to trust, for me to trust you and empower you and give you what I truly want to give you. There's some places, there's some things we've got to learn together. That's what he's doing. you're like Abraham. You're like, dang, it's been 13 years. I think I'm just going to make this happen on my own. How's that working for you? He says, no, my promise is true. I know right when to release it. Let me get your heart ready. And let me release it at just the right time for the king, for my sake. Because this really is all about him. Okay, that was all about finances. That was just, the point of all that was our freedom in finances. It's totally different than the law. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is, leading into prayer, is our freedom to pray. I wanted to talk about this. There's a lot of things I could talk about, but God just highlighted this to me, so I want to highlight it to you. Our freedom to pray. You are free to agree with God and to see miracles happen. And believe it or not, you're free not to. Because you're free in Christ. You can not do that. Will you still get to heaven? You betcha. Will God, like, be disappointed with you when you get to heaven? No, I really don't think so, actually. He might show you some things you could have done. But understand, okay, this is a quick aside, but understand why God's not disappointed. I tell people this all the time, but in case you haven't heard me say it in a while, hear it again. Disappointment implies that God had certain expectations of you that you did not meet up to. That's how we get disappointed, is it not? The really good news is God says, I don't have any unrealistic expectations about you. I know who I died for. Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He never waited for us to get our acts together. He knows that we need him. But I will tell you this again. If your desire is to be close to him, if you use your freedom to get close to him, you're going to be more and more like him. And he is a God who heals. It's who he is. And so the closer you get to him, you're not going to be able to help it. You might for a while go, you know what, God, darn it, I prayed for that person 50 times and it didn't come out the way I wanted. We did everything we thought we were supposed to. I'm done with this. You know what, he just kind of scoops you up in his arms and says, I know, that was tough. There's some things you don't know. Maybe you won't know in this side of heaven. But this is my heart, so let's go do it again. Now that gap and how long that takes, maybe it takes days, hours, if you really can't stand just God being right, and you just got to go do it. Maybe it takes months, years. That's it. I'm not going to pray for anyone anymore. Okay, that's okay. God may be dealing with other things in your life, but at some point, you have to go back to saying, what is his heart? And I will tell you, I've mentioned this before, but I have seen hundreds. Rodney told this amazing story earlier. Thank you, Rodney. That just fits perfectly tonight. Because it displays God's goodness and his glory. And here she had a word about Randy, and someone else prayed for her. What's up with that? Well, did you think maybe that it actually got her to that service believing that something was going to happen? You know, it's up to God. He can heal through whoever he chooses. But I'll tell you this. You're not going to see, just about anybody healed if you don't actually step out and pray for them. Why? Why does God do that? Because he wants to co-labor with us. He's the dad. You know, we're the little kid with the hammer, and he picks up the hammer behind us and says, come on, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's construct my kingdom here on earth, but let's do it together. Could he have done it by himself? Sure. But I'll tell you, as a dad, what fun is that? When you could do it with your kids instead, that's a whole lot more fun. So it is his heart to heal. It is his heart to heal. Cancer is just a really bad thing. So are other diseases. I loved it, Rodney, when you said Parkinson's. We've been praying for Amy Lewis. Some of you in this room probably know her. She lives in Livermore in the city and has been struggling with Parkinson's for decades. And that thing, and she's the sweetest, sweetest woman that you will ever meet in your life. There ain't no reason. You couldn't come up with reasons. Sometimes we try to reason away. Well, maybe God's doing this because, no. Stop it. Stop. Because that's just not a good papa. He's really good. Does he use all things for good? Yes. And that's where our confusion comes. Sometimes we see him using, you know, someone suffers and he turns it around for good. He always does. That's his character. It's his nature. But somehow we start to think, well, maybe that's what he wanted. And No. So will we use our freedom to pray for people? And do you, everyone in this room, understand that Christ in you does the impossible? That's the equation. Christ in you does the impossible. Last week, Tina got up. She's somewhere here, but she got up and shared that amazing testimony of someone who had cancer in the pancreas and liver, right? In the home group in Tracy, isn't that right? The pancreas and liver. Totally healed. You know, they stepped out and prayed. They even did a prophetic act. I'll just share it real quick because a lot of you weren't here. It's amazing. They told her as a prophetic act, go ahead and spit in this waste can. We're praying for you because God's getting rid of this thing. And then she started spitting up blood. Now, how many of you in this room right about there would have stopped right there and said, No. God does some crazy things. If you ever doubt that, read like Smith Wigglesworth, for example. People that were used powerfully by God. So she starts spitting up blood, and they knew. See, you listen to the Spirit. You get closeness with the Spirit, and you listen. Is it God? Is this you? Oh, they knew it was God, and they knew that he was healing her right on the spot. And pretty soon that blood stopped and went back to saliva again, took her to the doctor. Not an ounce of cancer in her body. Crazy. That's just crazy. And sometimes that scares us. That's another reason why we don't pray sometimes. It scares me. Also, what if I get disappointed? What if it doesn't happen? Believe me, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of miracles. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people not get prayed when I pray for them. So if that's going to stop you, I guess you're just going to have to get over it. I don't know what to tell you because until we're batting 1,000 like Jesus, we got a ways to go. We got to keep moving. And I will tell you again, if you don't step out to pray for healing, you're not going to see it. And don't you want to? And maybe not everybody's answer in this room is yesterday, and that's okay. But I will tell you this, about 20 years ago, I got this hunkering inside of me that I had to see people healed. It was a God thing, but I had to act on it. I had to make choices, and I started learning about healing, and I started studying it, and I started watching all these things, and then at some point, I actually had to step out and pray for people. You could study it your whole life and never pray for people. You just got to start stepping out and proclaiming the impossible and watching it happen. So, let's do that. I've talked plenty. Thank you for listening.